gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ. Please be seated. A friend of mine told me a story a long time ago about an experience he had on a typical Sunday morning going to church. It seems that my friend Doug was getting out of his car and he saw an older couple that he knew apparently having an argument as they were getting out of their car. Doug said there were arms flailing and fingers being pointed and animated conversation taking place that he couldn't hear, and he didn't want to intrude on what was obviously a very private situation. So Doug pretended like he didn't notice what was going on. Shortly, the argument was over, or at least suspended until after church, and the woman went one way into the church and the man went another way into the church. And as the man passed by, Doug asked him if everything was okay. And without missing a beat, the man said, "You know, Doug, the minute I met that woman, I knew she was Miss Wright. I just didn't know her first name was Always." It's hard work being always right. It's awfully taxing to be always good enough, or always organized enough, or always a winner, always successful, always faithful, always anything. And that's the situation I think the disciples find themselves in when they say to Jesus, "Increase our faith." Now I want you to think about that. These men who we call saints, who had left their homes, their jobs, some of their fortunes, to follow a wandering rabbi in the name of God, these guys felt like they didn't have enough faith. That makes me a little uneasy. Makes me a little uncomfortable to think that these great spiritual ancestors of ours felt as if they didn't measure up. And you have to wonder why they felt that way. But I think maybe if we look at the verses just preceding this text, we can at least get a clue. Because today's text is part of a larger conversation. And just prior to the disciples asking Jesus for more faith, Jesus talked about forgiveness. He told them if someone sins against them 7 times, they got to forgive 7 times. Or as Matthew's gospel tells us, 77 times, or even 7 times 70, depending on the translation you use. So no wonder these disciples felt... Sorry, God. It's just what I thought. That was a bee. As I was saying. No wonder the disciples felt like they needed more faith. Because despite their loyalty and commitment, Jesus is beginning to ask more of them. In fact, Jesus is beginning to ask the impossible. Yet instead of performing some miracle and magically bestowing more faith on them, Jesus instead, of course, tells a story. It's the story of the mustard seed. He tells them that if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can say to the mulberry tree, "Be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you." Now I feel safe in assuming that wasn't the answer the disciples were looking for. I know you've heard it explained before that the mustard seed is the tiniest of seeds, and that's why Jesus uses it as an example. And the absurdity of a seed telling a tree to move and it will is the point of the story. It's no more absurd than expecting someone to forgive another over and over and over again. It's not only absurd, it's impossible. And for me too, that is part of the message of today's gospel. Because I truly believe that one of the greatest sins of modern day Christianity has been preaching and expecting the impossible. Expecting people to always be right, always be a winner. Millions of people, as well as some of us in this room, have grown up in faith traditions that incessantly preached, we're not good enough. We need more faith. And as a result, too many of us look inside ourselves and not to God. We look at ourselves and we say that we can't because that's how we've been taught. Or we look at ourselves and say we don't have enough of what it takes to do the things God wants us to do. We can't because there's not enough money or there's not enough time or the job's too big or we feel vastly underqualified. I can't tell you how many times people have said to me that they just don't feel like they're where they're supposed to be in their spiritual lives or maybe even that they're in a crisis of faith. And that's sad to me. It's sad to me because it's the very opposite of what our gospel lesson is telling us today. And shame on anyone who tries to convince you otherwise. It is true. We are not good enough, faithful enough, successful enough, or able enough. But God is. And when we grasp hold of Him, even and embrace Him, even if it's just a little, God will do through us what He wills for us. You see, today's gospel, like so much of modern day religion, tells us that faith is not something that we can measure or value. You either have it or you don't. And for so many of us, that's not just good news, it is new news. Faith isn't something that you can bank up or build up until you have enough of it or the right amount of it. It's about opening ourselves to the grace of God, even if it's just a little, and allow God to do the rest. There's freedom in that knowledge. Freedom from oppression, from rejection, from unworthiness, and all the emotions of not being good enough in our faith that God never, ever intended us to feel. And with that freedom and that knowledge, we cannot help but see ourselves, our God, and each other in completely different ways. This coming Tuesday is a great feast day in our church. It's the day we honor St. Francis, who is one of the more notable saints of the church because of his love of nature and animals. And we'll celebrate St. Francis Day at our Wednesday evening service where we bless our pets. But there's so much more to him than just a ceremony of blessing our pets. He was the son of a wealthy man and spent most of his youth spending his money as quickly as he could. But after a period of illness in his life, he began to look at the world around him differently. Legend has it that while riding horseback one day, he passed a leper who was begging on the side of the road. Francis's first reaction was revulsion and probably a little bit of fear as he passed by. Yet before getting very far, Francis knew he simply couldn't pass by. He turned around, he dismounted his horse, he took the leper in his arms and emptied his pockets of all the money that he had. Francis's life was changed from that day forward. Excuse me. He committed his life to the poor and to preaching the gospel throughout Europe and the Middle East. And in that small mustard seed moment, by the side of the road in ancient Italy, the world was changed for the better. Those who came to know and follow Francis worked tirelessly in many forms and manners to improve the plight of the poor. And a difference was made. And the order that he founded continues to exist today, still working with the poor and needy, all from a decision to stop, turn around, and help a fellow human being who was lost. But my favorite thing about St. Francis is the prayer that we have that's attributed to him on page 833 of the prayer book. You've probably heard it before. Lord, make us instruments of your peace, he writes. Where there is hatred, let us sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is discord, union. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. Grant that we may not so much seek to console, to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love, For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen. Francis doesn't so much pray for love, pardon, union, and hope, as he does, he prays to be a sower of these virtues, that through God's grace we might be the seeds by which darkness can become light for those around us. And I can't help but wonder, I'm sorry, something, allergy has gotten to me. And I can't help but wonder if the seed that Francis desires us to be isn't that tiny, insignificant mustard seed that time and time again has transformed this world. My friends, it is tiring to be always right. It is frustrating and fruitless to be always the best or always faithful or always anything. And thank God that's not what our Creator expects of us. Jesus tells his disciples and us not to worry about how much faith you have, but instead to work with the faith that you do have. To reach down to that little seed of hope within us that God will use to transform not only the human heart, but the world in which we live. For that is our inheritance from a God who loves us, that we are right and good and worthy and faithful. And it is by his grace that our first names never, ever have to be always. God love you. Amen.